Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. If you've got a question, it's question and answer time now. You can submit that question by going to your email address or going to your email and sending us the email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd much rather talk to us, you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. 1-800-927-SHOW. If we can't get to you, please leave a message. We will call you back with the answer to your problem or your situation. I had a number of questions come in. We'll see what we can squeeze in the time allotted here. What do I spray into the holes that the carpenter bees have made? Also, can the wood be sprayed to prevent future problems? The area in question is above the front porch ceiling. It's made of pine.
Sure. So, yeah, carpenter bees overwinter in wood. They come out in the spring, usually April and May, and they mate. Then the females lay their fertilized eggs in excavated tunnels in wood. So first you want to make sure there are no bees in the old holes. You can push a stick or pencil in the hole to make sure it's empty, or you can kill whatever's in there. And then you can take a cotton ball with rubbing alcohol, shove it in the hole. The alcohol rubs oxygen and kills what may be in the hole. And then you want to fill the holes with some putty, wood putty. That typically will take care of the situation. And then
to prevent the problem from happening.
Otherwise, you can put a dowel rod or plugs in the hole. Another thing. And then to keep the bees from doing this again, you can get a product from Rescue. There's a carpenter bee trap stick. It also works on wasps and mud daubers.
So there you go. If you get it before, but fix it so they don't happen again. I have tomato seedlings that are dropping lower leaves. What can I do? I plan to move them to a larger pot. The other flats have some issue too, but not the same as this one. Do not know what's going on. Any advice? Can you help?
Sure. So we've had this problem before. One thing is that the temperature, if it's too cool wherever your seedlings are, that could be a problem. So you want to make sure that they are in an accurately warm place, about 68 degrees above, 66-ish.
68, 72.
Another thing is if they're being overwatered, this is going to cause the leaves to fall off, the lower leaves to fall off, or if they're not getting enough light. It's not a huge deal if the lower leaves fall off, as tomato plants are the nightshade family, so they essentially will grow roots all along their stem. So you could just bury it a little bit deeper, but if they continue to fall off, then you may want to check out a solution such as putting them in a warmer spot, not overwatering them, and make sure they have enough light.
And put a fan on them, too.
Yeah.
Kind of agitate them. Susan writes in from Southern California, simply says, I have groundhogs. I have deer. Can you help me? Well, yes, we can. We can do that. You can get a product. You can go to deerdefeat.com and use coupon code radio, and that will save 10% on your order. And that doesn't – it has – it's a all-natural liquid that you put on your plants. It doesn't smell. It doesn't freeze. I mean, it'll smell for first 30 minutes. Then humans can't smell it, but the animals still can. It repels deer, rabbits, and groundhogs. So deerdefeat.com, radio as a coupon code, save 10% on your order. Had a question here come in about greenhouses, Holly. I'm looking for a greenhouse. I see that many of them are on sale now. Which is the best for vegetables for future growing, the green cover or the clear cover? Is there a difference? As many different things I've seen online, no explanation really.
Sure. So in studies, it's found that using the green plastic to cover greenhouse, which is a slight green, the plants will grow shorter than being covered in a clear plastic.
Not enough sun exposure. Makes them a little shorter and squattier.
Yeah. So you want to look for a more clear plastic. You can use something like a 4 to 6 millimeter thick sheeting. The opaque green will not let it get enough light, so you want to go with the clear. You can do a double layer to reduce heat loss in the winter, but once you get to summer, you would want to remove a layer. So, yeah, you want to look for the clear, what is it called, polyethylene, and you want 4 to 6 mil,
mm-hmm.
and you want to allow those plants to have that light.
Same kind of plastic you'd use for like a high, a low tunnel or a high tunnel, the 4 to 6 mil plastic, clear plastic or opaque. It's not perfectly clear. It's got a little white film to it, but that's what they use. Yeah.
Right. And so, and another thing is that if you're buying this greenhouse, wherever you're buying it from, you can definitely talk about your needs with them.
And you can take it back.
And you can take it back. I mean, unless you're buying it, you know, on like a marketplace or something, yeah, or Craigslist or whatever, and it's used, that might be different. Yeah. But if you are having it built, you definitely want to talk about your needs, you know, your space, what you're trying to grow, especially where you are, things like that.
All right, another question come in. I was wondering where I could sell my produce. Is it legal for me to harvest and sell produce out of my backyard? Is it possible to sell at a local supermarket or farmer's market?
So with that, you have to check out, a lot of times it's called cottage laws or cottage sales, mm-hmm, laws. If you can just sell it out of your backyard.
Table, you, like a table in the front, you know, zucchini $2 a piece or whatever, that type of thing.
Now, if you live in a rural area and you got people driving by and you got a farm stand,
Ain't nobody going to check anything. The cops may pull in and grab a couple of watermelon off your cart. Yeah.
The cops are looking for the out-of-state drivers to get to pull them over, not your watermelon. However, if you live in the
city. But there is a lot of red tape that you need to make sure you go through correctly. Otherwise, it can be a lot of fines.
I will say this. I took a rec department class about selling canned goods, and I learned a lot about these cottage laws.
Oh, that's even more of a mess there, the canned good stuff.
Right. But I'm saying that if you can check to see if your local rec department has a class, you could start there. You could just contact your city, contact the farmer's market, things like that. Especially just contact your city, because you don't want to set up this little stand and then all of a sudden you have an angry neighbor shaking your fist at you and then you got cops knocking on your door or a nasty letter from the city. So definitely just check your resources. As far as like a grocery store or a small market in the area, just give them a call. We don't know any of those specifics, but
Every
place is different. A lot of times you just call, ask for the manager, say to the manager, this is what I'm looking for. They might give you a different number for an office or something, and then you can go from there. So just kind of use your resources, call around, and before you invest a lot of time and energy setting up a cute little stand, you might want to make sure that you're not going to waste that time.
Right. All right. Can you eat beet greens? Well, if they're young and tender, yes. If they're old and bulbed out, the bottom is, it's going to be like eating, it's not good. You can cook.
So you can cook. You can eat them.
You can eat them.
It's a matter of if you want to.
Right.
Right. So if some people do use the beet greens as like a green and they let them cook with like some sort of fatty material, animal fat, whatever, and they can become more tender. But if you're looking to just like quickly saute them, you want to eat the younger ones.
Right. The older ones, not so much. They're going to be a pain to deal with.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.